Thank you, Brother Moran, for those kind words. Thank you, Brother Moran, for the message on compassion that you've already preached here tonight. We've already heard more tonight than some people hear in a service, in an entire service. My. We are a privileged people, and I want you to know that it truly is a privilege for me to be able to minister to this body. You are my favorite people. Amen. And I mean that. I really do mean that. I love this church. I love my pastor. I give him honor tonight. I thank him for allowing me to have the privilege to minister to you. And I know in this place we respect the man of God. The simple things. Do you notice nobody even parked in his spot? That's for our pastor. Nobody sat in his seat. Visitors, not that we would not welcome you to the front row, but we reverence the man of God because we know that the Lord has given him to us. And I'm thankful for him tonight, and I truly hope that him and his family are refreshed as they're on vacation, and that they come back and that he has the mind of God and just continues feeding us like he has for so many years. And he's a good cook. Amen. Thankful for him. Hallelujah. There is a theme. I told my wife Sunday afternoon, I can't wait to see what Brother East preaches because I felt an anticipation. And you know, Brother Miller, Brother East, both preached great messages. But I'm not surprised because they heard from a great God. He's the one who gave them that. And I believe that the Lord is just going to continue to give unto his body because really, he loves his children. Amen. If you'll turn with me tonight to John, the 7th chapter, familiar portion of Scripture. Verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, only Jesus has what will satisfy our thirst. The world has a lot of stuff that they claim will satisfy, but short term. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when you get it the way Jesus intended for us to get it, you can't help but let it flow out of you. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of course, a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Well, if you know the scripture, according to the book of Luke, he will. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And here's what I want you to see. Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of Jesus. There was a division among the people because of Jesus. You see, the persecution that we've been hearing about the last couple of services is because of one reason. Because of Jesus. And the reason I think that we get it so hard sometimes is because he that believeth on, as the scripture hath said, well, then Jesus takes up residency inside of us, and well, if they were irritated with Jesus and there was division among them, why would we think that it would be any different in our lives? And then if you'll turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2. Verses 15 and 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What did Brother Moran ask us earlier? Do you love this Bible? Do you love the Word of God? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but look at here, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Unprofitable thoughts, that means fruitless discussions, useless matters, empty stuff. It's what it means. It's just going to lead to more ungodliness. But this. Amen. God, in this place tonight, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, you have chosen us for such a time as this. You're preparing us, God. Yes, persecution will come, but those words still ring true in my mind that came from the man of God that said, nothing, nothing shall hurt us. God, we're in your hands. And Lord, it is for this time and this purpose in this world we live in that you have chose the church to speak up and have a voice. Lord, to show this world the hope and the goodness and the compassion of you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, I don't want to be or seem like I am disrespectful as far as age goes. But I know that there's some people in this room that well, they're just older and more mature, and they've seen some things in this world, and they've seen big changes in this world. Brother and Sister Miller, I love you. And I know you could attest to that, that you've seen some changes in this world. Things are different. They're not the way they used to be. I stand before you tonight, 54 years old. But I can tell you that this world is not the way it used to be. When I was a young lad, we have come so far, and I would tell you, not in the right direction. But as the pages read, the way it was written, the times are upon us. For all those born around 1945, you are survivors. Consider the changes you have witnessed. You were born before television, before penicillin, before polio shots, frozen food, Xerox, plastic, contact lenses, Frisbees, and the pill. You were before radar, credit cards, split atoms, laser beams, and ballpoint pens. Before pantyhose, dishwashers, clothes dryers, electric blankets, air conditioners, drip-dry clothes, and before man walked on the moon. You got married first and then lived together. In your time, closets were for clothes not coming out of. Bunnies were small rabbits, and rabbits were not Volkswagens. Designer jeans were scheming girls named Jean or Jeannie. Having a meaningful relationship meant getting along with our cousins. We were before house husbands, gay rights, computer dating, dual careers, couch potatoes, and computer marriages. You were before daycare centers, group therapy, and nursing homes. You never heard of FM radio, tape decks, electric typewriters, artificial hearts, word processors, yogurt, and guys wearing earrings. For us, time sharing meant togetherness, not computers or condominiums. A chip meant a piece of wood, hardware meant hardware, and software wasn't even a word. In 1940, made in Japan meant junk, and the term making out referred to how you did on your exam. Pizzas, McDonald's, and instant coffee were unheard of. Are we looking different? You hit the scene when there were 5 or 10 cent stores where you bought things for 5 or 10 cents. Sanders or Wilson sold ice cream cones for a nickel or a dime. For one nickel, you could ride a subway, make a phone call, buy a Pepsi, or enough stamps to mail one letter and 2 postcards. You could buy a new Chevy coupe for $600, but who could afford one? And what a pity, because gas was 11 cents a gallon. Are we looking different? In our day, cigarette smoking was fashionable, grass was mowed, Coke was a drink, and pot was something you cooked in. Rock music was grandma's lullaby, and aides were helpers in the principal's office. We were certainly not before the differences between the sexes was discovered, but were the last generation that was dumb enough to think you needed a husband to have a baby. No wonder we are so confused, and there is such a generation gap today. But you survived. What better reason to celebrate? I want you to know that in the eyes of this world, the true church of the living God looks just as different as what I've read to you in this story. And that's why people are stunned by the church of the true God. But according to the scripture, study to show thyself approved means acceptable or pleasing unto God, a workman, a toiler, a teacher, a laborer, that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing. That means to make a straight cut, to dissect, expound correctly the divine message. That is the job for the church of the year 2014 and beyond as the Lord tarries. But it's the persecution that we come up against in this world that wants to close the mouth of the church through intimidation. But I'm here to tell you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And it's time for the church to speak. The devil is a copycat. David knew when he cut the head off the giant, the noise would stop. And so the adversary wants to do the same to us. Nothing. Those words ring in my ear over and over. Nothing by shall any means harm you. Jesus has chosen us to do a work for him. And don't you be intimidated by this world telling us that we need to be quiet. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we're all aware of the Beatitudes, but the last two, verses 10 and verses 11 of the Beatitude says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men should revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake." You see, what that shows me is there's going to be persecution, but it's because the church is alive and it's doing something. You see what I'm saying? We're not hidden and cowling because this world has intimidated us. Amen? The church needs to speak, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now the 16th verse of that same chapter, and I read that, shows us what transpires if we do it not according to the pattern of God. Shun profane and vain babblings, or like I said, unprofitable thoughts and fruitless discussions, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, which means wickedness, irreverent, impious, destitute of reverential awe towards God, even condemning God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't be afraid to bring it forth like God says we should. But say it right. Because people can get messed up in the mind when they don't hear it right, and then we see them when we tell them the truth. They look at us like deer in the headlights. What? I never heard that before. We have to say it right. Amen? To turn the button on. We can't be afraid to share the power. We have to speak it right. I'm reminded of a story of a young man. He was an apprentice in blacksmithing. And the blacksmith was teaching him how to harden a horseshoe and how to temper it and do it right. So he said to the trainee, he said, "Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the horseshoe out of the fire and I'm going to set it on the anvil. And when I nod my head, you hit it with a hammer." He didn't get the message to him right. So the apprentice is still practicing blacksmithing, but he has never hit another blacksmith in the head with a hammer. He did what he told him. He nodded his head and he hit him in the head with the hammer. But you see, when you don't hear it right, you get a messed up mind. And all of a sudden, your life is being lived in a way that doesn't line up with the word of God. But truth, the word of truth, is when it's applied to lives, it changes people and gives people hope and promise if it is applied to our lives the way it's supposed to be. Now, can you all see this? Sargento, the official cheese of the Green Bay Packers, and also I think it's the official cheese of the United Pentecostal Church International. Well, I think it is anyway. So, this is kind of like a oxymoron, though, and you'll see what I mean, because it's kind of like jumbo shrimp, so we're talking about cheese. I know there's men in this congregation right now that are trembling. Is that a scale? Can I be
transparent with you. This is a scale. This is a very expensive scale. I don't like scales. Is there anybody? Can I get an amen from somebody?
Amen.
Do you like scales? I don't want a show of hands, but men? Hallelujah. See, I'm going to, it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, right, men would hear and could be saved. So I bet you never thought this could be spiritual. Transparency, right? Very expensive. What I love about this is it has power. There it is. And something unique happened a couple of weeks ago. We were coming out of a prison service, and one of the men that was a part of the service was walking out of the gymnasium where we have service, and he stumbled and tripped on a scale. And he goes, "I hate those things. They intimidate me. I don't even like getting close to them. That's why. See what they do to me?" And I was laughing. You know why? Because I think the same way. How can something so little and so meaningless really intimidate someone the size of a boxcar? You know? But like the pastor mentioned the other day, I was telling him about this. The reason that we don't like it is because it speaks the truth. So you stand on it, and this one talks.
One at a time, please.
Says hi. Now, I don't know if that means my weight's up there or my blood pressure. Actually, this thing not only tells you how much you weigh, but it tells you how much water weight there is and how much fat there is. And so it's very expensive. Very expensive scale. Why would I spend so much money on something that I don't like? But it tells the truth. And that's why it's intimidating. Now, if you're doing good and you're eating all the right things and things are, you look in the mirror and, you know, then that thing isn't so intimidating. But, you know, you have those little times alone with Snickers bars. Is this good preaching or what? Am I right down there where the rubber meets the road? Huh? Did you know that if you eat frozen candy bars, it's only half the calories? If nobody sees you eating them and they're frozen, it's only 3/4 of what they normally are. See what I mean, though, about the hammer? You got to say it right. You got to say it right. It tells the truth. I know I'm getting in somebody's grill. I hear the little comments. But, you know, here's what's awesome. My wife, my helpmeet, the lady, my friend, the lady in my life has helped me and encouraged me in the last 4 years and has helped me keep the bulk of 140 pounds off this frame. 9 words. They're powerful words. When's the last time you've been on the scale? Is that powerful or what? Now I can say, I was on the scale on the 13th of August, and I was right in front of the entire church when I stood on that thing. And it told the truth. It said, hi. Do you know why it said hi? Because it hasn't seen me for a while. But my suit still fits and I can button my jacket, so I'm good. I know I'm good. But it tells the truth. And you know, we have to be, is the church the bride of Christ? Are we the woman? You know what? We have got to say those encouraging words to this world if we really want to help them to do the right thing. And if you remember something tonight, can I ask you, when's the last time you've been on the scale? Because this tells the truth. And if you stand on this, it will keep you for eternity. It's expensive. This has value. We were bought with a price. He paid the full price for you and I. And he has chosen us to simply take this truth and give it to the world. And the church or the bride has got to be the encourager, and we cannot be intimidated by the persecution that the adversary says could come into our lives, but we have to speak it the way the scripture hath said and actually give people what they need to save them. Because this really will help us. This really will change our situations and our lives and allow for us to be fit, if you will, for eternity. So it's important to rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, it just leads to more ungodliness and meaningless conversations. We have to remember the Genesis factor. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:2. Because from the very beginning, God was speaking about changing mankind. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And you and I are that light for this world now. But he spoke it into existence back in the book of Genesis. In the 3rd verse, he said, let there be light. On the 3rd day, Jesus rose from the dead, and there was light. And that light would live inside you and I so that we could walk into this world and walk into rooms, and we can know in our minds that there is light in this place, the light of the Almighty God. You have got to realize, and I have got to realize, the power and the effect that we really do have on this world. But the persecution and the ridicule and all the things that come into our lives because of truth want to shut us down. Let there be light. And there was. And God saw the light that it was good and divided the light from darkness. Listen, division, we know that God is not a take away God, but he's about dividing things. He's about dividing light from darkness, good from evil. And that's what he did, was divided light from darkness. What he divided was the light in verse 5. So the light was day and darkness was night. Day is luminary, happiness, or hot, and darkness means wicked misery. So he divided light from darkness. Luminary and happiness, or wickedness and misery. You make the choice. We made the choice. All those years that the world hung misery on us in darkness and was telling us, this is good. And we were, well, maybe you weren't, but for a while I was dumb enough to believe it. And then someone introduced me to this thing called truth. And they put my hand in the one called Jesus. And all of a sudden, the light started penetrating the darkness and pushing it out of the way, because when light goes, darkness has to flee. That's why when you walk into a room, people are irritated at you and they don't even know you.
Who's using Jesus?
And God made the firmament or the sky and divided. It means he divided or separated the waters, which means refreshing, which were under the firmament, from the waters or refreshing, which were above the firmament, and it was so. So what he did was he separated. There was a heavenly refreshing and a earthly refreshing. And we who are here on earth, who have been chosen to shine the light into darkness, received his refreshing, and we take that refreshing into this world. But there's a heavenly refreshing that keeps us refreshed. And the refreshing lives on and on and on. There is no limit of refreshing when it comes from above. So, all power was given to him in heaven and on earth. And he put that power inside of us so that we could be the refreshing that this world needs. So, who do you think wants to shut you up? Huh? Anybody in here ever come into the church with in a situation? Did these words ever come out of your mouth? Don't you ever think I'm going back to that place. Praise the Lord. Do you know when you said that to your husband, do you know what I told him? Perfect. And he looked at me and said, perfect? I said, she's so close, brother. She just don't know it. From never coming back again to running the aisles for Jesus. Would you give him a hand clap of praise? Do you know why? Because the man of God gave her the truth of God, and the refreshing entered in, huh? Amen. Amen. So don't ever forget the Genesis factor, because it's a part of the truth that you and I teach. And don't be intimidated by the division that standing for what's right ushers into our lives, because it's for a purpose. In that scripture, John 7 and 43, where there was a division among them, it means a schism or a split or to divide asunder between strongly opposed sections or parties caused by a difference of opinion or belief. It's a formal separation of church or churches due to doctrinal issues or other differences. We heard about it Sunday morning at the Racine County Fair. Amen. Look, in the Old Testament, God's elect or priesthood were separated and sanctified to keep divine order. Because of the light we have, do you know the scripture that says, work while it is yet day? All right? You know what? Now's the time, church, because there is still an opportunity for lightness to shine forth. We understand the persecution and the things that are happening, but work while it is still light. Work while it is still light. And the light inside of us is to go forward in a time such as this. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. You know, some of the most intimate times I have in here generally take place between 4 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. Now, people would say I'm nuts. And I don't even have my shoes on yet.
Isn't that something? Well, let me take my shoes off. I think that'll make a difference. I should take at least 10 pounds off, right?
When's the last time? Listen, this is not a rebuke, but God has given us this so that we could be perfectly furnished. We're not perfect people, Sister Dixon. Amen. How's that for being instant in season, huh? Thank you for blessing us in song. But what he has given us in this word can make us perfect in his eyes. And when we apply it to our lives according to the scripture, now he sees his righteousness. Blessed art thou when men should revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely. The verse before that says, blessed art thou who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's because of Jesus and his righteousness applied to us through the word of God. You know, before I used to hear those 9 encouraging words from the lady in my life, she loved me anyway. And I'm thankful. And you know, before we came to Jesus, all the junk we had hanging on us, he loved us anyway. But he spoke to us through this word and gave us life-changing instruction. And that is simply what he has asked you and I to do in the year 2014. When's the last time you've been on the scale? So in the Old Testament, God's elect or his priesthood were separated and sanctified to keep a divine order. Hey, it hasn't changed. The New Testament church, God's elect, or his priesthood, are to be separated and sanctified to keep divine order. They haven't changed in God's perspective. He still has a separated people. And his desire is that the chaos of this world would be able to look to the church and to see a way out for themselves and those they love. The mixed multitude that left Egypt were with the Israelites in the Exodus were those who realized, hey, I'm going with those people because they truly have a God that can do things in their life. Most of us were a mixed multitude until we left that mess for the best. We went from chaos to peace, from darkness to light, a divine division. Division's not bad if it's for the right purpose. You know, when there were those in the Old Testament days that were coming up against Moses, the man of God, and Moses said, who's ever on God's side, you stand here, and who's ever, and they had a battle. And you know, that day, 3,000 fell that wouldn't obey the instruction or the word of the man of God. Isn't it amazing that in the book of Acts, when 3,000 obeyed, they were added unto? Disobedience. And you know, do you remember when the ground opened up and swallowed those who were coming against the people of God and the man of God? The world, the earth was divided to swallow up that which wanted to cause division. Actually, there was division in the book of Acts, the second chapter. Because of the waters of baptism, man was divided from sin. Division's a good thing when Jesus is involved. Compromise, you write this down. Compromise, you write this down. Compromise will never usher in complete contentment. Compromise will never usher in complete contentment. The Word of God says, godliness with contentment is of great gain. You see, because Jesus now is a part of the equation. This world has nothing that offers complete contentment. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Watch this. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean or wicked or demonic thing. That word touch means carnal intercourse with a woman, or cohabitation. Now, I'm not here to judge, but here's what I'm saying. Remember that Sarah and Hagar, there was the bondwoman and the free woman. So it can be a carnal relationship in the flesh, or it can be in the spiritual realm. Who are we spending time with? Who are we embracing? What are we touching? Because the demonic or wicked thing, if you get close enough to touch something, you're too close. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And that means treat you with favor. That is what ushers in true contentment in our life, is to be treated with favor by the Almighty God. That's why the Word of the Lord says, and he had favor with God and with man. But see, this world has it mixed up, and they think they need the favor of man first, and then all these other things get ushered into their lives. But Scripture says, oh no, God and then man. Hallelujah. That word separate means to set off by boundary, limit, appoint, or divide, to separate or to sever. To mark off from others by boundaries.
Well, I don't really think that.
Well, really? But it's part of the boundary.
Well, I don't think holiness.
Well, be careful. It's part of the boundary.
Well, I don't think it's really.
Be careful. To limit or to separate, in a bad sense, to exclude as disreputable, meaning not considered respectable. In a good sense, it means to appoint or set apart for some purpose. Example, the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. I'm here to tell you that God created you and I for a purpose. But it's not for the purpose this world wants to use us for, but it's for his purpose. How many know that if it's true in the physical, it's true in the spiritual? How many believe that he created us for a purpose? Well, a couple of you do anyway. The rest of you are just waking up. Did somebody raise their hand? For an example, the purpose for this meeting is to appoint a trustee. The purpose for the meeting of you and Jesus Christ was so that he could appoint a trustee. To take the message, that divine message that 2 Timothy talks about. Another example. Remember, if it's true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual.
The building is no longer needed for its initial purpose. This temple that used to be used for raising all kinds of stuff and being involved in so many, this building is no longer needed for its original purpose. I want to move into that thing, and I want to clean it up so I can use it for my purpose, and so you can walk into a place and take light into darkness. Listen, in the Valley of Goshen, the Bible says that it was dark, but that in the Valley of Goshen, the dwelling places of the Israelites had light. And I'm wondering if you and I, when somebody is in the valley of their life, if we're not the light that walks into that place and brings the refreshing and says, I have something that can give you hope. Don't be intimidated by the persecutions of this world. Amen. Suffering at times is a part of God's plan. God has allowed suffering. He even purposed it. We read about it in the Beatitudes. But he purposed it because he went to Calvary and his flesh was torn so that ours could be saved. That's why it is so displeasing to God, according to the scripture. Six things does God hate, but seven are an abomination to him, sowing discord among the brethren. That is displeasing to God. Do you know why? Because he went to the whipping post and he went to Calvary for you and I. So when there's discord being sown in the body, this is the body of Christ. And it's like him going to that whipping post again. Because when there's discord, there's separation in that body. He already paid the price. The adversary wants for there to be division here and strife. That's why the persecution and the ridicule comes.
Well, who does so-and-so think he is? Huh?
Listen. We are the body of Christ. You will know them by their love one to another. That's the division that God wants no part of, sowing discord. What he wants you and I to do is he wants us to sow. He wants us to sow seed to bring refreshing, to bring light into this world of darkness. Don't be intimidated by the persecutions of this world. A couple weeks ago, we were at a birthday party in Franksville for little Aurora. I love that little girl. I don't know why she likes me, but I get a hug from her when she sees me. God taught me an object lesson there, and I want you to know that 2 days ago, he woke me up, and my wife will attest to this, at 2 a.m. She said, you're not getting up for work already. But God woke me up, and he spoke to me about that day. It was an object lesson. Yes, I was invited to a party, but he took me there. Can you believe it? In Franksville, Wisconsin, to teach me something to share with the church. This is for us. Please listen. We were there together. Eating a lot of food. And when we pulled into that place, if you know the Franksville Park, there is this big area that's created for kids to play. It's bigger than the sanctuary. There's towers, and there's trails, and there's bridges, and there's funnels, and there's sand, and there's all kinds of things. Anybody see it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
And when we drove by there, I saw my grandson's eyes. And I've taken him there before. So we were at the party and we were enjoying ourselves, and there was my grandson looking at me. What's going on, buddy? Nothing. You want to go to the playground, don't you? Yeah. I didn't. But he did. Four years ago, I used to sit at my desk early in the morning. And weep for him. God, save my grandson. I want him to know your goodness. I still have the picture on my desk. He was only about a year and a half old in a little flannel shirt around Christmas time. And so now, here he is, years later. God filled him with the Holy Ghost at family camp. God answered my prayer. And so here he is at this place, and he wants to go somewhere. And who would I be? Well, it's really not convenient for me, really. So I walked him over there, and we got to that playground. And it was eerie. And I said something to somebody when we got back. We went there. There was not a kid in that place. Not one. And this was at like 1:15 in the afternoon by then. And I'm thinking, don't kids play anymore?
Well, yeah, they do.
PlayStations have changed. But it was just me and him. And it was, Brother Moran, it was eerie because I'm thinking, this big, beautiful place for children to enjoy.